and bound themselves by an oath, neither to eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who made this conspiracy. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have strictly bound ourselves by an oath to taste no food till we have killed Paul. Now therefore you, along with the council, give notice to the tribune to bring him down to you as though you were going to determine his case more exactly. And we are ready to kill him before he comes near." Now the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush, so he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. And Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the tribune, for he has something to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the tribune and said, "Paul the prisoner called me and asked me to bring this young man to you, as he has something to say to you." And the tribune took him by the hand and going aside asked him privately, "What is it that you have to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire somewhat more closely about him. But do not be persuaded by them, for more than 40 of their men are lying in ambush for him, who have bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink till they have killed them. And now they are ready, waiting for your consent." So the tribune dismissed the young man, charging him, "Tell no one that you have informed me of these things." Then he called two of the centurions and said, "Get ready 200 soldiers with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen to go as far as Caesarea, and at the third hour of the night also provide mounts for Paul to ride, and bring him safely to Felix the governor." I want to preach for a few moments today on this topic, stand your ground. Lord, we thank you today for this amazing week of weather that we had. And now as we all sit here in this nice, warm building on this cool, chilly Dogwood winter, I pray that our ears would be open and our eyes would see and our hearts would understand what you are speaking into our spirits. Let this word find a home in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody say amen.
Amen.
I'll pray for your ears to be open and your heart to be receptive, and you pray for my mouth to speak as it ought to speak. Is that all right?
Amen.
And we're navigating. Okay, amen. How we're going to preach. So here we go. The plot is thickening. I should say, here we go again. This is not the first time an attempt has been made on Paul's life. He's been thrashed and beaten, stoned and imprisoned, and chased from city to city. And most recently, he was nearly torn limb from limb by these vicious Jews. If he had not been rescued by the Roman soldiers, the Jews would have beat him to death. But now he's in Roman custody, and you would think that these Jews would take a break. How many of you know the devil never takes a break? Evildoers never tire of wreaking havoc in the lives of good people. Now you pray for me today, that I'll pray for you, that your hearts would understand the word, and you pray for me that my mouth says the words that need to be said. Because I have a lot of thoughts going through my head today, and I don't know if they all need to be said or not. Proverbs, it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, "For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." I can tell you this much, if they're causing trouble in the streets, it's unlikely that they have a job. If they're causing trouble in the streets, it's unlikely that they have much responsibility, or maybe even know what that is in their lives, because when you have responsibility, your opinions and your attitudes change quickly. When somebody else is paying the bill, it's easy to find trouble. But when you're paying the bills, it's a different story. Who are these 40 guys? Don't they have jobs to go to? Don't they have families and lives to live? Don't they have something better to do with their time? Aren't there more important things to worry about than some itinerant preacher? No, these Jews are ate up with hatred and violence towards Paul and towards all those who call on Jesus. And this last bunch of more than 40 men have bound themselves with an oath to not eat food or drink water until they have successfully killed the Apostle Paul. Now, you read that and you think to yourself, what I think to myself, Sister Jesus, I wonder how that's going to work out. They're going to get awful thirsty. What are these Jews, these enemies of Jesus, going to learn? That you cannot kill a message. That you cannot kill a kingdom. That you cannot kill a movement. That you cannot stop the work of God by killing someone. Well, hallelujah. I think they have learned that. Because they quit killing Christians. And now everybody's a Christian. Now, 99% of Republicans in Congress are Christians, and almost 80% of Democrats in Congress are Christian. But you know what the historian says? When everybody's a Christian, nobody's a Christian. And they haven't figured that out yet. You can't kill somebody and stop a move of God. If you want to stop a move of God, you pat them on the back, feed them the forbidden fruit, and get them to kill themselves. That's what Balaam realized when, and he was there with the king, and they were trying to stop the Jews who were shutting up the city and about to overcome the land. And he called the prophet Balaam out, and he said, "Curse these people!" And he said, "Well, I can only say what God tells me to say." And he opened his mouth, and he said all these things, you know, but nothing that he said was all he could do was bless Israel. And the king got mad and stomped around and took him somewhere else. He said, "Look over here now, curse these Israelites." And so he said, "Well, I can only say what God tells me to say." And he opened his mouth and he blessed them. And a third time he did it and he blessed them. And finally, in the end, he just started prophesying about the Messiah, Jesus. You know, because when God puts his blessing on somebody, there's no devil in hell, there's no angel in heaven, and there's no human on earth that can stop what God wants to do. But if you want to stop what God wants to do, which is what Balaam said to the king. He said, "Y'all got any good looking women in here? Y'all got any babes? You got any?" And history's funny about beauty, right? It changes, and it's different even here in our day and time from country to country. So whatever they were, he brought them long neck beauties out. Whatever they were, man. He brought them out there. And the Israelites started having illicit relationships with them. And God struck the edge of the camp with plague and disease. Amen. You can't stop. The only one that can stop what God is trying to do in your life is you. Now, I'm going to preach to you a little bit here today. So hang on, because I'm going to get the point that I want to make here today in a little bit. But when is the devil going to learn? You can't fight against God and win. Despite now every one of the attempts that they have made on Paul's life, his preaching has continued. Despite all the sufferings Paul has been made to endure, God's grace continues to flow. Miracles and deliverance continue to reach the needy. The good news continues to reach the lost. And through it all, God used Paul's sufferings to build church after church from city to city until a network of churches was spreading across the Roman Empire. They've already killed James and Stephen, but the message in name of Jesus is still casting a wider and wider net. They've arrested men and women and taken their children and thrown them into prison. But the good news is still growing. None of those things done against Christ and His church to stop the spread of the gospel have worked. None of the devious strategies of the enemy have been successful in thwarting anyone from being saved. Can you hear what I'm saying today? There is nobody that can stop what God is doing in your life but you.
That's right.
Come on. Now, that wasn't in my notes. And that wasn't a part of what I was going to say today. But I'm just trying to hear what this scripture is saying. Wicked people in the kingdom of darkness will always have something up their sleeves. Amen. But so long as God has a work for His church, and as long as God has a work for us to do, not one weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Right.
But God will uncover the plot, and He will protect. He will uncover the devil's schemes and prosper you no matter what the opposition. I understand there's a time for all of us to die. And there'll come a time for Paul to die as well. But I think too often we become a doormat when God called us to be a city set on a hill. Where do you find a man with no arms and no legs? What do you call a man with no arms and no legs at the front door? You call him Matt. That's not what Jesus said you're called to be. He said you're called to be a city set on a hill.
Amen.
Some of you need to hear this today. Some of you need to hear this today. You are not a doormat for the devil. You are a city for Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
And don't die till it's time. We're called to be martyrs. And in our mind, what's a martyr? A martyr is somebody who dies for Jesus. That's not what it means. A martyr in the Bible is somebody who is a witness for Jesus. And you can witness for Jesus in your death, but you can only do that once. But God called us to be witnesses with our lives.
Right.
He said they'll see your good works and bring glory to God. There are no good works that go down into the grave. You've got to live. Sometimes you've got to do what you got to do to live for the glory of God.
Amen.
That's right.
Too often we cave and give in to the pressure. But you can't die until it's time. Well, Jesus died. Yes, He did. He willingly gave Himself to these same sort of Jewish leaders. And yes, He took the false accusations and allowed Himself to be beaten by these same sort of Roman soldiers and then to be crucified. But that is only because it was His time. But before that time came, He never let anyone or anything stop Him or take advantage of Him. Herod tried to kill Jesus when He was a baby and couldn't do anything about it. Didn't happen. Church folks in his hometown of Nazareth trying to throw him off the cliff on the edge of town when he preached his first sermon. Didn't happen. Time and again, his detractors made attempts to discredit him and to destroy his ministry. Didn't happen. And billions of followers of Jesus later. Didn't happen. The church is still going on when Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He wasn't just mouthy, pretty, fancy words. We're talking about pie in the sky. But His church is still on the earth and His church is still strong. And I believe when Jesus comes back, there'll still be a church and it'll still be strong. But in order for that to happen, there's going to have to be some Christians who learn how to stand their ground.
Yeah.
Neither did Jesus allow Himself to be exalted as King of Israel. And neither did He allow His disciples or others to crown Him king or to give Him a throne. He knew what He was there for. And He stayed on point. And He held His crown. And He was planted deep in the will and work of His Father. And He stood His ground against His crazed supporters. And He stood His ground against His angry enemies. And so this is a lesson for Paul. And it's a lesson for the church that we need to take hold of today. And he has taken everything his enemies have dished out to him up until today. And now he's taking a stand. Now this ties in with our sermon on You've Got Rights. I don't even remember the sermon, You've Got Rights. This ties into that. Paul has run the gauntlet. He has had a divine visitation by Jesus Christ. He knows where God's plan is taking him next. And he's not about to let this latest plot on his life stop him from doing what God has promised and commanded. Church, sometimes you got to put what was in the past in the past. Sometimes you got to put the old battles and the old worthless arguments and the people that are determined to live their lives on their way to hell in the rear view mirror and get yourself focused in your windshield and put it in your God positioning satellite. Amen. And get heading in the direction that God calls you to do. And Paul has been told one more time, you have testified of me here. That's done and over with, baby. And now you're going to testify in Rome. And so Paul determined that his days of suffering at the hands of those crazed Jews was over.
Right.
And so he puts his foot down with this latest plot. And Paul's nephew hears rumors from his friends in town and about the plot to kill his uncle. And he finds his way in to visit Paul and tell him what is about to go down. And Paul's reputation is already going out through, amen, the fortress there on Mount Zion, right there outside of the temple. And everybody's starting to know him by name. And so he comes and he talks to Paul. And Paul sends him to the tribune to tell him about the plot, because with this information he does not want to take it sitting down. Too many Christians take far too much sitting down. If it's not your time, then don't sit down and take it.
Right.
If the Lord hasn't revealed to you this is the day that you give your life, then you need to stand up, stand your ground, stand firm.
Yeah.
Amen. And don't let anybody take away what God has given you to do. Shame today. You get your ego hurt. You get your feelings hurt. Amen. You got all kinds of devils and demons lying to you. You got a bunch of people that don't believe in you and doubt you and question you. You got all kinds of doubts about yourself. You got all these things swirling. You need to throw all that stuff down. The Bible says cast your cares on him. Amen. The Apostle Paul said lay aside every weight and sin, and you need to get focused on the prize. Get yourself in the race and run it with patience and stand your ground for what God has called you to do.
Yeah.
I don't think you're hearing what I'm saying today. Paul said, that's enough. I'm telling you, church, you got to take a stand. Soon. I'm 54 years old, and I can tell you, I can feel it. When I strap my Garmin Instinct on and I go on my little runs, I can feel that extra 10, 15 pounds around my belly and my boobs. I can feel that somewhere in my arteries and in my veins, there's just a little bit too much saturated fat there. And that heart rate that used to be about 155 when I was running full steam is now hitting about 168 when I'm running about a quarter steam. I had one day last week. I'll tell you what, man. I got up. I felt so. I come into work, walked in to the bus barn, and everybody was looking like the same as me. Here we go again, folks. The boss said, I am not in the mood for this today. And I could feel what he was saying. I mean, it was just sitting on like some big giant panda bear sitting on my shoulders, you know, just chewing on his bamboo. And I got through that and I thought, man, I don't feel like praying today. Man, I don't. And I heard a little voice say, you need to practice what you preach, preacher. So I got in the prayer closet and I closed the doors behind me like Jesus said. All the blinds pulled down and I started just, okay, I'm not going to try to get a prayer list today. I'm not going to try to to try to do all this stuff and get all these thoughts sorted out. I'm just going to go in here. Lord, I love you, Lord. You're good. You're the creator of all things. And just started worshiping and praising and thinking of everything that I could say to thank God for and all the good things and just how amazing of a God that He is. And before I got done with that prayer time, I was feeling a whole lot better. And then I sat down in my chair and took a nap. Hallelujah. And I read and I finished up. You know, I read through the book of Hosea and read through the book of Amos. And then I was like, God, you know, I need a good devotion for Feed My Sheep. And I don't want to go down there and just talk, you know, out of my head, you know, and just be all confused. And then I got myself up and I went out for a run. I did not want to go for a run. I did not want to run. But I went for a run. And when I was out there running, the Lord spoke to me, gave me a word. And I got back there and jumped in the car, went to Feed My Sheep and gave the devotion. Man, I could feel the Holy Ghost all over me. Not bad for a lifesaver and a sip of water. And you know what? It was like the Lord just like picked me up out of that. Sometimes you got to take a stand against the things that are going on around you. Y'all all crazy up in here. I'm going to the church to pray. Y'all all out of your minds. I'm going into my room. Don't bother me. I'm going to talk to Jesus because ain't nothing going on with this conversation with y'all. I'm tired of what's going on in here. I'm tired of listening to all that garbage. I got me a psalm. I got me a word of God. I got me a scripture here. And I'm going into a prayer closet. I'm going into a church service. And I'm going to throw everything I have at the feet of Jesus. And I'm going to take my stand there. Amen. And God will come through for you. He will not leave you without the help that you need. He will not leave you without the answer that you seek. But He will support you and He will strengthen you. That's why He's called the Helper. Hallelujah. God will help you. Amen. If you will seek Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so Paul sends his nephew secretly to visit the Tribune and share this juicy tidbit and let the cat out of the proverbial bag. And sometimes, folks, we just need to calm down and relax. You remember what they found Peter doing? Because Acts is about attitude. You remember what they found Peter doing? They arrested him, and James had already had his head chopped off. And of course, John the Baptist already had his head chopped off before that. And so they got him in prison. They got him chained up every which way but loose. There's no way he's getting out. And what is Peter doing? He's channeling his Jesus. What did Jesus do when they were in a boat in a storm? Took a nap. What was Peter doing? And he knew he was going to get his head chopped off the next day. What was he doing? He was asleep, man. The angel had to kick him to wake him up. Sometimes we just need to relax and remember that God is on the throne.
Yes.
Nothing's going to happen to you unless God has given the green light. And if God's got work for you to do, then He's going to put a hedge around you. He's going to protect you. And He's going to prosper you and save you on your way. And He's going to expose the devil's schemes. And He's going to uncover the plots against you and protect you for His name's sake. Isn't that right, Brother Andrew? There's all kinds of knuckleheads out there. Don't have nothing better to do with their time. And don't know what. They don't even know what a nose is for. And they stick it in your business. Isn't that right, Brother Andrew? But you're living the life. And you're walking the walk. And God takes care of it.
Right.
Sometimes you've got to kick the fear out and let the faith in. Right. And take your stand for Jesus. I was praying and God just put the scripture in my head. Psalm 91:5. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Church, whether it's a fiery furnace or a lion's den, or a violent mob or a host of enemy soldiers, or a gallows that's built to hang you on, God is going to take care of you.
Amen.
You need to stand your ground. You need to refuse to bow to the idol. You need to refuse to give in to the pressure to let up on your spiritual disciplines and your walk with God. You need to refuse to surrender. You need to refuse to honor the wicked. You need to refuse to ever quit preaching in that name. But you need to stand your ground. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians 6 and 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. You need to stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, we need to be praying in the Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. What is this talking in tongues? I don't have any idea, but I can tell you that I do it every day.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I can tell you that I don't do it enough. We need to do it more. When was the last time? Well, I spoke in tongues when I got the Holy Ghost. How long ago was that? Well, I don't have the gift of tongues. No, friend, you have the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's obvious you don't have the gift of tongues, because we ain't had a tongue interpretation around this church for about 95 years. And if you do have the gift of tongue interpretation, then you're in trouble, because you ain't been letting God use you. There's tongues and interpretation of tongues and gifts of tongues. But when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, there's all kinds of other tongues. And in one of those tongues is praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. When was the last time you went into prayer and groaned in the Lord? When was the last time you groaned in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication? In another place it says, with thanksgiving. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul didn't stop preaching because he was in prison.
Right.
Paul didn't stop praying because he was in prison.
Amen.
Paul and Silas didn't stop singing because they were in prison.
That's right.
You've got to stand your ground. Because when we stand our ground, there is the great big God standing with us.
Amen.
Let's stand together this afternoon. And when we stand our ground, God is going to give us the royal treatment. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. He went from hoofing it to being escorted on a horse Now the Roman horses weren't just little nags. They were war horses. They were big and powerful. And God didn't just give Paul a horse to ride on, but he gave him an army. Cavalry, as well as foot soldiers, to escort him out of Jerusalem by night and take him safely away from the plotters. And that's what God will do for you. Don't be tempted. And don't let yourself fall into despair or to fall into sin and let the devil tempt you to stop doing what you should be doing and to start doing what you should be doing. How do you stand your ground? You keep doing what you know is right and you refuse to do what you know is wrong. I don't care if it's legal. I don't care what the culture says. I don't care what the government says. What matters is what the Bible says. What is written down in these scriptures collected for us over thousands of years? This is your safety right here in the Word of God. This is the story of Jesus from front to back. You want to know more about Jesus? Flip it open and you'll find it on every page. God created the worlds for Jesus. He created us for Jesus. He created the church for Jesus. Everything is about Him, and everything is for Him, and everything is through Him. And we are in Him, and He is in us. Let's bow our heads together and let's pray as they sing. Pray to God today and ask Him to help you rid yourself of doubts and questions and fears and things that are causing your faith and your commitment to waver. Let's pray together right now, God. Take away the fear. Take away the lies. Take away the lies. And reestablish us.